We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we'll continue today in Ezra chapter 4. And yesterday, as we concluded 3 and we were getting into 4, we were talking about some of the adversaries that came about, and we'll get more into that. But this is Alex McFarland and Bert Harper. And Bert, greetings from Oneonta Valley Christian Camp in upstate South Carolina. Had a lot of rain yesterday, but we also had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we had about a dozen teenagers pray to accept Christ last night. And while the outside weather has been a little inclement, indoors teaching God's Word, it's just been a blessing.
Well, amen, Alex. I know it is great, and I know those young students are just having a great time, but also putting into them, as you do and others do, it just brings great joy. Praise the Lord for 12 that would come to Christ. And speaking of students, we have a guest today, and I was her pastor, and she was a student, and now she works here at AFR. It's Ann Cockrell, who is co-host of Hannah's Heart. Ann, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, and give a rundown. A lot of folks may not know of Hannah's Heart. Sometimes the weekend programs are not as publicized as those every day. Give us something about Hannah's Heart. What's it about?
All right. So Hannah's Heart is a ministry that focuses on couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage, and child loss, but it's definitely grown to more of also talking about foster care and adoption and even singleness, just how our lives may look a lot different than what we pictured, and how we can honor the Lord and the wait, whatever type of season we're talking about waiting, just waiting for our lives to look like what we always pictured and to rely on the Lord during that time.
It sounds like God's waiting room, doesn't it, Alex?
It does.
Yes.
It does. And do you know, Ann, it's great to have you on the program. Traveling as I do, I've talked to people that all over America that listen to Hannah's Heart, and they are very touched by the content. And so you and Kendra do a great job, and we certainly do appreciate your ministry.
Well, listen, we want to get to the project you're doing. Just about every ministry here at AFR, if they stay on long enough, they're going to find a mission project. It's just like churches. Mm-hmm. They need to be on mission for God, Sunday school classes, small groups. You don't just exist to exist. No, you're there to share the good news of Christ. And you guys have got a neat way called Bibles for Babies to share God's Word. Tell us about that, and how did it start?
So anyone who has been keeping up with Hannah's Heart probably knows the story already, but if you don't, that's okay. My husband and I struggled with infertility, and that is how Hannah's Heart kind of came to be, as the Lord landed on my heart and my co-host Kendra's heart to share about our infertility journey and miscarriage journey and how to bring glory to the Lord even through that hurt that comes along with that. And so last year, I actually was pregnant with, I still call him my miracle baby, my John Micah, and he was 26 weeks in my womb, and he survived for 27 minutes on this earth, and he is now in glory for eternity. And so he was born and passed away on July 17th of last year. And as we know, July 17th was last Wednesday for this year. And so as his birthday was approaching, I knew that obviously that there's a lot of pain that comes with celebrating a birthday for someone who's not here to celebrate with you. And so I knew that I needed to still celebrate in some way or another for my mama's heart to be able to do that. So it wasn't going to look like him being here to blow out candles or to open any birthday presents, but I wanted it to still be something meaningful. And so we started praying about what that could look like. And Parkgate Pregnancy Center is a local crisis pregnancy center here in Tupelo where American Family Radio has our home base. And so I got in touch with the director there. She is also a dear friend of mine and my pastor's wife, Andrea Powell, who, if anyone has listened to her story on Hannah's Heart, you know that she and her husband have walked through, goodness, so much loss and hurt over the years. They have a story of multiple miscarriages. Their three-year-old son, Judah, passed away unexpectedly, and she also walked through breast cancer as she was pregnant with their last son, and it was a very scary pregnancy. And so they know all about this kind of hurt that Hannah's Heart exists for. And so as we got in touch with Andrea to see how we could benefit Parkgate, this was an idea that came up, was to be providing new beginner's Bibles. We probably all know what those look like, for any new mama that had a positive pregnancy test at Parkgate. And so they started providing these Bibles last year, and we just are now joining in on the fund for that to raise money for those Bibles this year. But they even had a mama who had never had a Bible of her own. She got one of these Bibles after going to Parkgate and having a positive pregnancy test. And she went home and read the Bible from front to back to that baby in her belly. And she came back to Parkgate a few days later and said, I want to come to know Jesus. Amen. And so that mama dealing with a crisis pregnancy of her own decided to keep that life. And she gave her life to Jesus in the meantime. And so, you know, people might wonder, why are we, you know, doing Bibles when these babies also need diapers and formula and things like that? And we all know the physical needs are there, and we know that we need to meet those needs as well, but even more the spiritual needs. And so we pray that these Bibles don't just impact these babies that we're buying them for, but also generations to come.
Amen. Amen. Hi, Alex McFarland here, and you're doing a great work. And, you know, I just applaud you being so courageous and obedient to the Lord, and even in the loss of John Micah Cockrell, to honor him in that way. But I want to make sure people understand, for a one-time gift of $10, that will provide a new Bible for a new life on the way. And it'll put God's word in the hand of some expectant parents that, you've testified, God is using this to bring people to salvation and ultimately little babies. And I'm sure everything you all do, and certainly all these Bibles, they're going to be prayed over. So whether by phone or online, how can people participate in Bibles for Babies?
So we have people calling in at 877-616-2396 if they would like. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to afr.net, and it's actually on our homepage right now. They made it real easy. You just go to afr.net and you can click on the link that way. Or you can do afr.net/Bibles for Babies.
And beautiful. This is tremendous. Now, I want to ask you, helping other mothers the way this will, does it help a mother's heart who has had that grief? Are you it sounds like you may be comforting others with the same comfort that you were comforted with. Is that mm-hmm. true?
Oh, man, that's so true, Brother Bert. That's no better way to put it, for sure. And goodness, I mean, what a gift to be able to do this. And I love that Alex even brought John Micah's name up again. It's obviously not to bring glory to John Micah, but as a mama to know, you know, that I'm able to do this in his honor, to bring glory to the Lord in his honor, when I know he's looking at our Savior's face, face to face right now, you know, and there's no better gift to be able to do that. And so just if one person gave, just so we can provide one baby with such a special thing, you know, that's worth putting in the time and effort that we all have for this emphasis week.
Amen. Well, and
so $10 yeah. will put a Bible in the hands of a family. $10, right?
That's right.
So 100 would give 10 if I multiply.
That's right.
Okay,
that's,
I want to give
Dr. Yeah. Nurse Mama. Dr. Nurse Mama has been on Hannah's Heart before, and she shared that she has had a few miscarriages and then has children here on earth. And so in honor of all her children in heaven and on earth, she gave 70 Bibles. And so wow. I thought that was such a neat thing in honor of her little baby's life to be able to do that.
Amen. Well, Ann, that number, I want to give it again, and then we'll say thank you. But the number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. And right now, all you have to do to go online is go to AFR.net, and you'll find that streamer there, and you can click it and go Bibles for Babies. And Ann, you know how much I love you. She's one of those students that a pastor is thankful for, and I appreciate you, lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Brother Bert. Thank you, Alex, for having me.
Thank
God
you,
God bless you, Ann, for the work you're doing. This is very special. Because, Bert, you know, and you probably know far better than I, but as a pastor, and even way back when I was a youth pastor, I remember praying with couples that were desperately wanting a child, and there's not only infertility, but there's miscarriages, and God is faithful. I love that scripture you shared about, you know, the God of all comfort comforts us, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Some of the assignments of life are not things we would ask for, but if we can give it to the Lord, it will definitely prepare us and help us process it. You mentioned the 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. That's powerful scripture for people in a situation like this, isn't it?
It really is. And the reason we bring that up is because that's what God specializes in. He specializes in taking all things, the good, the bad, the difficult, the hard, and working it for good for his glory. Now, the ultimate aim for you and me as we go through this, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, let me just share with you, Jesus was not immune from suffering when he was here upon earth. He knew what it was to be hungry and then ultimately going to the cross and suffering the shame, but also the spiritual, my God, why have you forsaken me? The stripes. So through the suffering, Alex, I think God molds us to become ministers to others that they may know that same one who gives that comfort. And speaking mm-hmm. of that, when we get into Ezra, there's going to be some difficulty comes along, and they're started a project, and man, opposition comes. And that causes difficulty. So we're going to work through this. We'll come back and we'll start in chapter 5, verse 6. And what you're going to find in 4 and 5 is a lot of letters. But those letters are good and bad. Stay with us and we'll share it with you. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
He is right here where he's always been. He never left and he never will. Where is God? God is with us.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here, and we're in the book of Ezra, chapter 4. And again, as we were going out to this last segment, if you read this, what you read mostly is letters that were written. But I wanted to show you something, where they're coming from. In chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, they name the people who are reigning after Cyrus had given them the opportunity to go back. And, you know, kings come and go, and here it is. Now, in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, if you're going to read Ezra and Nehemiah, what you're going to get is a lot of opposition. And it sounds a lot like Israel today, even today when the prime minister was speaking to Congress from Israel. So much opposition outside, opposition on the inside. This has not changed over the years. But notice also verse 7, Alex. I thought this was important. There's a really important four-letter word. In the days of Artaxerxes also, and it gives you the names of the people there that wrote these letters and to complain about the Jews. So if one wasn't enough, they did two. This is double accusations. This is a compounded conflict. And a lot of times when you're doing a good work, can you expect opposition, Alex?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's always going to be naysayers. And do you know what? Churchill would say this, and that's just one of my favorite figures of the 20th century. But he said, you know, success is very often going from one disappointment to the next with undiminished enthusiasm. And, you know, let me just encourage people, don't waste your energy or your emotional bandwidth on the critics, you know. And there's been so much said about that. But, you know, here's the thing. Starting really with verse 8, Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. Then wrote Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe and the rest of their companions, the Dinites, there's several groups mentioned. And basically by verse 11, there's a copy of this letter. And so from Ezra 4 to midway through Ezra 6, it's not in Hebrew, but it's in Aramaic.
I thought that was interesting too. You know, here it is. Yeah. But it is copies of the original. And so Ezra had these available to him, and God was telling him, put these in here because they tell the story, don't they?
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's very accusatory. The tone is just making accusation. And they said, you know, thy servants, the men on this side of the river, and at such a time. In other words, king, as you what you're about to read comes from loyal servants and subjects. But verse 12, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come up unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have, I mean, do you see this accusation? And Bert, mischaracterizing people, making false accusations, promising feigned loyalty. Has politics changed much in 4,000 years?
It has not, and that's what I thought. That's the reason I brought up Benjamin Netanyahu, because he's been there doing that, and the opposition is there. And again, the false accusations that are made, war criminal and all of that going on. Now, listen, the king does respond, and they said, look back, and you'll find these people. This city has had several struggles against being run over by others. Who would not? But verse 19 says, and I gave the command, and a search has been made, and it was found that this city in former days has made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been fostered in it. Verse 21, now give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. So they seem to have a temporary victory. And I just want to stop in here just for a moment. Along the way with your walk with the Lord, and you have opposition, there will be moments of temporary difficulty. And it looks like the enemy is winning. When we look at the world today and we look at what all is going on and what is accepted as normal, calling evil good and good evil, we look at it. But, Alex, I'm going to use a cliche. I've read the back of the book, and I know who wins. Amen?
Amen. That's right. Well said. Well said. And so, you know, it's hard not to get discouraged sometimes, but we need to stay encouraged. We really do. And, you know, it's almost amusing, but it's also a little bit aggravating. Notice they call Jerusalem, in verse 12, the rebellious and bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. In other words, Artaxerxes, you need to know they're underway here. And be it known unto the king that if this city gets built and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll or tribute or custom? So thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. You know, it all gets down to money, doesn't it?
Power and money. Alex, yeah. Here it is. They're going to rebel against you. You won't have authority, and they won't pay you tribute. They won't pay their taxes. And so, oh, king, you need to do something about it. And not having the money and not having the power, that usually gets attention from the people who have that power and that money, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. And, you know, they say, look, we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not suitable for us to see the king's dishonor. And there's taxes, there's, you know, revenue, but it's your honor, king. We care so much about you that we just could not bear to let this go. And we've sent and certified the king that search may be made in the book of the records of the fathers, so thou shalt find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city. Now again, here's more slander and accusation, hurtful unto the kings and the provinces, that they have moved sedition within the same of old time. In other words, this is just like them. And frankly, this letter written in Aramaic is very anti-Semitic. It really is. And they mention the river. Now, isn't it something that even to this day they talk about from the river to the sea? I mean, this is the most fought over piece of real estate in the world, isn't it? From the Mediterranean Sea and the river, the Jordan River kind of makes a border. So they're basically saying, like in verse 16, look, if you don't intervene, and we're happy to help you intervene, but you're going to lose money and power, and worst of all, you're going to be dishonored. They've done their best to set this up, haven't they?
They have, and the king does respond accordingly. A lot of times that happens, as I've just said. Notice what it says, and this is so important. Again, temporary victory by the enemy, and it would look like defeat for us, for the believers, for the follower. Verse 23, and at the end of it, it says this. Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read from Rephaim and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. They had this new authority. They brought it on. Now, notice what happens. 24, thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, Alex, here's what I want to say. There may seem like there's some dark time, but during that time of darkness, during that time of difficulty, God is at work. And I want to bring that back part of the Jewish history. Do you remember they were praying that God would do something about the Egyptians and their harassment and the slavery that the Jewish people were under? They were called Hebrews then. The Hebrews were under. And all this time they were praying, not knowing that God was working on a man named Moses. And they would not know that for about 40 years. And he comes back. And it is made known what Moses is about to do through the power of God. So Here's the hope I want to share with you. All through the Bible, and I'm going to call this, you'll have these periods of dark ages, periods of difficulty. You had it in the book of Judges. You have it here. You'll have it in Nehemiah. You have it just about everywhere. But during that period of time, God is at work. Alex, I think that gives hope to us in 2024. When we see some dark difficulties, hard things, God's still at work. And sometimes we don't know it. It's in people's lives. He's sometimes raising a group of people up, or he's raising an individual up for such a time as this, as he did for Esther. So, Alex, I look at that and say, yeah, look at that. But at the same time, I say, praise God, God's at work.
Well, exactly. God is at work, and even in what we think are the dark times, he's at work. Verse 20, and in Artaxerxes' reply, says, there have been mighty kings over Jerusalem. Yeah, there's going to be the King of Kings physically in Jerusalem one of these days. He says, take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? In other words, I'm authorizing you to intervene. And it says, you know, they did intervene, verse 24, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, because look at 23, by force and by power. Isn't that something? When these people felt like they were, you might as well say, deputized to intervene, you know, Rehum and Shimshai and their companions, they did quickly and by force and power. They got the work to stop, didn't they?
They did. And again, until the year reign of Darius, his second year. But while he was doing that, he had his preachers. Now, we call them prophets, but let's call them preachers today, okay? Prophet's a preacher. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the sons of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah. This is in chapter 5, verse 1, in Jerusalem, in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. And that God has a word for them. Even during this period of time, God has a word for them. And if you can, those of you that are doing this study with us, take time to read Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai is very short. Zechariah is longer. But they're speaking to the people during this period of time, challenging them, giving them hope, and letting them know. Now, notice what it says in verse 2. Zerubbabel, and all he did, began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Now, Alex, here it is. The king, or the leader, I'd say the governmental leader, Zerubbabel, and the prophets of God working together. Where's that separation of church and state, Alex?
Look what it's not there, is it?
It is not. It is not.
And you know, what's amazing is that... wasn't Zerubbabel born in Babylon?
Yes, he was, and he brought the first group up, the group that we talked about earlier in chapter 2, and all those numbers, he was the leader of them. He brought them up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here's a guy that really the family was out of the homeland, and by every right, he wouldn't have been used so mightily in the work of God, and yet he was. And I guess part of the reason I'm bringing that up is, folks, it doesn't matter what your background is. You can start today walking with God, being used by God, and he didn't come from some great pedigree of, you know, people in ministry, and yet God is going to use him. And so, you know, God aids the people in responding this, and God protects the people. And there's an interesting person here, Tattenai.
Another opposition.
Exactly. You know, and he comes up and he says, "Who has commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall?" Then accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing the building, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease until a report goes to Darius. So it's, in other words, you know, here's who we are, here's what authority we've got, and we're going to keep on pouring concrete and stacking bricks till we hear from Darius. So they avail themselves. Let me just say this. Just like they are really appealing to the authority of Darius for the sanctioning of what they're doing, Paul would appeal to his own Roman citizenship. We American Christians today, look, we have every legal right constitutionally to vote, to get in our pulpits and talk about the issues and urge other people to vote. And so, folks, please just don't cower back in silence based on the idea, well, you know, I'm going to say this, Bert. The 11th commandment is thou shalt be polite and quiet. That is not the 11th commandment, is it?
It is not. And the enemy's not, and we need to do what is right, but speak out clearly. And that's what happens here. We'll have to stop here, but let me give you a little bit of this. Verse 5, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews. Isn't that awesome? Listen,
amen.
God's eye is upon you. If he notices a sparrow when it falls, if he knows the hairs on our head and they're numbered, Alex, I think Ben Franklin was right. How in the world can a nation rise up without his aid? And
yes.
So here it is. Guess what? God is giving his aid through the person of Darius. They're trying to trick Darius, but Darius checks the record. He says, oh, no, I don't want you to want them to build, but I want you to help them build. Hey, we're going to take phone calls in just a moment. 888-589-8840.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We were just over the break talking about what a blessing it is for all the people that listen, and a lot of people email us or contact us or interact with us. And the Facebook page, by the way, on Facebook, it's just Exploring the Word. Brent Austin looks after that, and we are every day getting closer and closer to 10,000 followers on Facebook. Praise God. And it is all for God's glory. But if you haven't done that already, would you go on Facebook and like the Exploring the Word Facebook page? And then, if you want to send in a Bible question by email, you can always reach Bert and myself at word@afr.net. But the number, if you have a Bible question, you want to ask your Bible question today, we would love for you to call in. And that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we sincerely mean it. It's a privilege to hear from each and every one of you.
And lines are open. We got a lot of lines open. But while we're waiting for others, let's go to Oklahoma and talk to John. John, thank you for calling Exploring the Word today.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. You guys are fabulous.
Well, we have a great Savior.
I don't want you to talk to our wives now, John, okay?
They might slightly disagree.
I know where you're coming from.
Okay. Enough said. Go ahead, brother.
You were speaking of the letters written in Ezra, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe Jesus spoke Aramaic.
Alex, yes. That's what I understand as well, John.
My question is, believing that Jesus spoke Aramaic, it seems odd that the letters to the Jews were that from their enemies, let's say, were in Aramaic. How did we go from enemies in Aramaic to Jesus speaking Aramaic?
Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
And this is a little bit of a puzzlement, but just like with the Samaritans, let me say, culturally, there was a mixture in the Holy Land, and in the area of Galilee, they say that many Galileans spoke an Aramaic dialogue, and in a lot of places throughout Judea, it was kind of a combination of Hebrew and Aramaic. And maybe this was part of the occupation, because, you know, here's the thing, Bert, when we were in Israel a few years ago, they were telling, and you might remember, how many times Israel has been invaded over the centuries. And, you know, around Judea, Nazareth, Capernaum, Galilee, yes, the Jews spoke Hebrew, and many could read. And, of course, the scriptures of the Old Testament were in Hebrew. But there were different dialects very often. Greek and Latin, but Aramaic was around the Galilean area that was, I'm just going to say, a residue from some Persian occupation of centuries past.
I think that's exactly right, what I have understood and was taught. But it's amazing. Jesus came in the fullness of time. Now, listen to this. Although that was the most important part, there was Aramaic. Here they were. The Old Testament was Hebrew with some Aramaic in it. Here we have it in Ezra. But also the official language of the Roman Empire was the Greek language. Mm-hmm. And so it was a mixture of all of that. And Jesus was raised in Nazareth. This is important, too. And Nazareth was one of those places where you would have multi nationalities coming through Nazareth, because it was on a on one of the paths that they would take there. And so I just love it. I think that even speaks, and I, you know, I'm going to go here, Alex, it goes to the mission of God. And especially when we get to Revelation, they talk about every language in heaven. So why would there not be this multi language in mixed up with the two primary languages, which was Hebrew and Greek? John, thank you for your observation. Let's go to Kansas. Theotis, thank you for calling.
Yes, I got a question. I'd like to ask, if you repent of your sins and you ask for forgiveness, do you have to keep asking for forgiveness when you pray every day?
Okay. Listen, I think this, Alex, and I'll set it up and you take it away. You have to look at, here you have it, relationship and fellowship. Your relationship is settled, Theotis, in Christ. But that fellowship, if we do not confess our sins, it will damage that fellowship we have with God. Go ahead, Alex.
Brother, thank you for asking just a wonderful question. And it was my privilege coming up on 2 weeks ago. I taught through 1 John at the Billy Graham Center in Western North Carolina. And 1 John, it says that if we're in Christ, we don't sin. But at the same time, it'll say, if we sin, confess and repent. And so let's understand that our salvation really is in two senses. The first and only time that you turn to Christ and you say, Lord, I admit my sin. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Please save me. Your position, your identity, your standing before God is you are now redeemed. So in one sense, the repentance for being born again, you don't ever have to do again. Your sonship is settled the minute you put your faith in Christ. But Bert is right in terms of daily fellowship. When we become aware that we have sinned, we are to confess it and be restored to fellowship and forsake it. And Bert, let me just say, and I want to be careful how I say this, so Bert, I invite you to chime in. There is conviction over sin, and I think all believers know when the Holy Spirit is weighing heavily on them to make something right we did wrong. But then I have counseled people that are on kind of a treadmill of obsessive false guilt. You know what I mean? So on the one hand, folks, when the Holy Spirit makes you aware of a sin, confess it and receive that forgiveness. But on the other hand, there are some Christians that need to give themselves permission to rest in the joy and the freedom, knowing that if you've trusted Christ, you indeed are right with God. Do you see the balance I'm trying to talk about, Bert?
You did it well. Let me just say this. What we do, we receive forgiveness. I hear people say, and I'm again, I understand their sentiment, but I think it's something better. They say, oh, I haven't forgiven myself. Well, who can forgive sin but God, okay? The whole idea is that we receive God's forgiveness. And what you want to do, and Alex, those that are, you know, excessive, tender toward their sin and not receiving that, listen, you're trying to undo what God has already done. And it doesn't mean you're not sorrowful. It does not mean if you accept his forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you wished you hadn't have done that and you're not going to do it again. But it means that you're in right standing with God in order to receive him to follow him. And if Satan can get false guilt put upon you, I want to tell you that guilt will weigh you down and say, I'm not worthy of even sharing my faith with anyone. And so receive God's forgiveness. And at the moment you feel conviction, do not put it off. Today's the day. That's the day is the when you want to get it right with God. So, man, Theotis, thank you for that great question. We appreciate you, brother. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Linda. Linda, thank you for calling.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. I have a question regarding scripture reference in the Old Testament to the angel of the Lord. It's first referenced when Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, and the angel of the Lord told him to stop. I have always thought that was a God theophany, that it was a reference to the presence of God. But someone mentioned that it was a pre-incarnate Christ. There are other references in the Old Testament. For instance, when the people of Israel were leaving Exodus, that was the angel of the Lord that led them by cloud and by fire. I just have a real problem. What is your view on that? Because I just cannot call Christ an angel.
Okay.
What is your view?
Let's go back to what the meaning of the word angel is, Linda. Mm-hmm. This is so important. It's a transliteration of the Greek word where we get angel. And I know in Hebrew it's a little different, but it's still the basic meaning is messenger. And Jesus was a messenger from God. So the angel of the Lord, that should not come into the issue of it making Jesus less than. He is a messenger. He has a message from God, and that's what Jesus did. I came, and he even called him the Word of God. Alex, sounds like that word has a message for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, and in the Hebrew, like in the Genesis 22:11-18, when Abraham was obediently taking Isaac up there, but the angel of the Lord, Genesis 22:11, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy. Now, the word there in the Hebrew is the word messenger. It's M-A-L-A-K, Malak or Malak. And the caller is right. We don't call Jesus an angel in the sense of a created angel, because God created angels. And obviously, the Lord Jesus is God incarnate. But he was, the Old Testament appearances of Christ, or as the caller rightly said, theophanies. And let me say, and I've said it many times, the definitive book on this that goes through every verse that is an Old Testament appearance of Christ. Is it a theophany? Is it the angel of the Lord, as the messenger of the Lord, as distinct from other angels? The definitive book is called Christ in the Old Testament by Dr. James Borland, B-O-R-L-A-N-D. But I think the Genesis 22 was an Old Testament interaction of Jesus, you know, with Abraham there. And like in Exodus 3, the angel of the Lord speaking from out of the burning bush, I think that was the voice of Jesus. So in our English translation, it might say angel, but a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, it was Christ really in the office of a messenger, God's voice from heaven.
Exactly right. Linda, again, this does not diminish him. That's the whole lot, and that's what you want to make sure. It's like he was the man. He was human. Now, perfect human, he was, but that's why he came, and that's why the incarnation is so important, Alex, that God mm-hmm. became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. And listen, he is glorious. Linda, we hope that helps. Let's go to Texas and talk to Olin. Olin, thank you for calling. Is it Olin or Olin?
Olin, O-L-E-N. You don't hardly see that name around.
I know that.
I'm going to give a little twist here. I need prayer. I read my Bible, but in my prayer life, I'm not all my life I've not been consistent, and I'm ashamed that I read my Bible and I get all hopped up around people that I don't want what I know and feel. I've got to be consistent with prayer. It's just like I'm totally unorganized, and I'm ashamed of it because God has helped me so much through my life.
Amen.
Will y'all please pray for me that I would get straight with God?
We are going to do it right now, Olin. We really are. And we had Tabitha to get in on Facebook and shared this with Brent. Brent shared with us that she wants us to pray for her pastor and his wife. Both of them are sick, and they're in the hospital. Doug and Debbie Hall, we're praying for them, and I want to pray for Olin. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're praying for Olin that he would stay with you, that your word would become such a priority to him, that we want to hear from you through your word. Help him to grow in that. Help him to share with others. I pray that he'd be a part of a body of believers, even a small group, where that accountability, I'm glad he's called in, but we want that accountability with somebody with, as we say, with skin on, to say, Olin, how are you doing? And Olin can say to them, I need your prayers. Let's grow together. So I pray you'd help Olin, and I pray for Pastor Hall and his wife in the hospital. God, may they right now see your hand upon them of healing. Give them that healing, either through the doctors or your hand or a combination of both. No healing will take place apart from you. So we pray for that victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Olin. Thank you, Tabitha. Let's go to one more question in Mississippi, and it's Helen. Helen, we don't have a lot of time, but go right ahead.
My question is, my question is, don't we owe the respect to somebody to call them by their rightful name and to make fun of a quality of theirs over the air and laugh about it, and also to refer to this, I have to say this, former President Trump as David and Abraham? How can that be? Yes, they made mistakes, but they came to God and asked for forgiveness. I haven't heard and admitted they sinned. We all do. His Bible says we all sin and come short of the glory.
Okay, Helen, we don't have a lot of time, so I don't cut you off because of what you're saying, but just so we can respond. Here's what we do. I just want to tell, we do respect positions. We really do, the position that someone holds. But at the same time, we don't cover our eyes to wrongdoing. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the office of president, cabinet, vice president, even if I don't always agree with the current occupant. But like 1 Timothy 2 says, let's pray for kings and for those in authority. And let's stay informed, and come November, let's vote.
Amen. And vote godly. That was Phil Robertson, I think, 4 years ago. What you want to do, you vote with a biblical worldview. And keep that in mind. And exploring the Word, we'll do our best to stay on that, help you know that, and look at people through the Word of God. Alex, we'll continue in Ezra tomorrow. Look forward to it, brother. But until then, we want folks to tell people about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.